I need you to imagine you wake up tomorrow morning. I hope that's true for all of us. You wake up tomorrow morning, you go through your routine, whatever your routine is. Your alarm has gone off, you have gotten ready. If you're anything like me, you have consumed a pot of coffee. So good. And it's time to leave the house. And as you go to leave the house, maybe you're fortunate enough to have a car that you drive, you go get in that car. And if you wish you had a car, just imagine you're driving that car you've always wanted right now. Just make it a better imagination, like you're driving your dream car. It's in your driveway. It's parked in front of your house, outside your apartment. Are you there? You open the door, you got in. It's also clean. Somebody cleaned it for you. You're very fortunate. Can you picture it? You get in, you put the key in the ignition, or you push the punch button, and all of a sudden, suddenly an angel is riding shotgun. Now what's happening in your car? You see an angel shotgun. Is it bright? Is it dim? Is it lightning? How does the angel look to you? Suddenly, unexpected, an angel is riding shotgun in your car. It's radiant, breathtaking, beautiful. Did I say it's riding shotgun? It's riding shotgun. There is an angel in your car. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You say to yourself, this is unbelievable. You probably close your eyes and you blink them and you're like, is this real life? Is there really an angel in my car? This must be a dream. You think, did I oversleep? Am I still sleeping? You wake up, you're like, nope, I'm pinching myself. This is real life. That mundane Monday, you just were headed to work. You were headed to the grocery store. You were going somewhere, and an angel shows up and turns it into a miraculous moment. Can you picture it? How many of you right now are like, man, I hope that happens for me tomorrow? I'll tell you what. It's probably one of those things you wouldn't keep to yourself. It's probably one of those moments you would tell people, you're not gonna believe what happened to me. This angelic experience, although hard to believe, maybe truly an unbelievable framework for you in the way you think about how the world works. It's not only possible, it is one of the consistent ways people encounter the living God in Scripture. If you think about the story of Jesus, angels seem to always burst onto the scene with the word suddenly. Suddenly, people minding their business. Suddenly, a host of angels proclaiming the glory of God. Suddenly, an angel appears and proclaims, do not be, you've heard the story before. This miraculous meetup on your Monday is the very way the Easter story unfolds. Matthew 28, 1 through 10 says this, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Are you kidding me? He's just like perched. He's like, what's up? Just rolling stones over here. Just an angel on the scene, no big deal. I was just in heaven, now I'm here. This is the Easter story. He just sat on it. How many of y'all have really focused on that verse before as you read the scriptures? The angel, he's just riding shotgun. Just sat down. Cool, calm, collected. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the woman hurried away from the tomb after afraid yet filled with joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Church, there's so much we could unpack here. We could just hang out here, and I would actually encourage you to go back and check it out this week. Like, just slow down and let the living God speak to you. But it is God who can do the unbelievable. God is able to do unbelievable things that invite you to believe in him. God is able to do more than you because God is God and you are not. Therefore, God can do more than you. God is able to do more than we would imagine, oftentimes more than we have the faith to believe. And when God does unbelievable things, it regularly involves two qualities. The first is God is regularly having to speak to the fear in our souls, and he says, do not be afraid. Today, no matter what's going on in your life, I would encourage you to pay attention to where you have been afraid, because today the living God says, do not be afraid. Do not live from fear, live from peace. Do not live from fear, live from me. Do not be afraid. The other thing that often accompanies this angelic moment of proclamation is an invitation to see and know Jesus. Jesus says, you will see me. You will know me. It is all for the sake of relationship that puts you close and connected to Jesus. Because God is able to do more than any of us can on our own. And he says, come close. See me, know me, watch me work. Matthew 28 says Jesus is the living God who came to save. He has risen. He is risen. The hope of a kingdom that is alive and at work means he must be the risen God because he is the living God. I don't know about you, but things that are lifeless, statues, things that do not have life are not able to do much. The risen, living God is able to do things because he is alive. Okay, I don't think y'all are hearing me this morning. I'm going to try this again. If God is living, that means everything for your life. Everything. The living God can do stuff. That's very theological sound right there. Deep theological things this morning at the Vineyard. But my question is, do I live my life as though God is alive? That God can show up? That God can move? Or do I go through every day as though he's buried in a tomb? Unable to hear me. Unable to move. Unable to reorient. Unable to deal with my fear and my shame and my guilt, do I keep him buried by the way I live my life? Oh, it's my hope today that if you were here, you would know God has more for you. And wherever you have experienced God not living and alive, today you would become more awake than you ever have. That he wants to do more in your life because he is living and waiting for you to say, come on in. You might be like, well, Kurt, that's nice. You don't know my life story. You don't know what I've been through. Well, Jesus knows, and he's been through it. He was crucified on a cross, bearing the weight of all sin and all shame and all things that would cause you or me to feel completely isolated and separate from God. But the picture of Jesus on the cross says God is with him always. He enters into it with us always. He gets close always. This is what a living God does, who loves you and is reaching for you to save and secure you. God is able. God makes miracles believable. The unbelievable is transformed into real encounter with him and his kingdom. Jesus, the risen Savior, can often seem too good to be true. Like, that's just got to be too good to be true. There's too much of a mess in the world. We can dismiss his goodness as unbelievable. Yet he comes, and he sends angels, and he says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. So how does this miraculous work of God become seen, known, lived, heard, received as believable? How are we here today, thousands of years later, proclaiming the story of God? Were any of you there? With confidence, come on, it's Easter. Were any of you there? No. But there were enough people there who sat with him and ate with him and saw him, so much so they would die to proclaim the glory of God so that we could live. It's good news. The risen Jesus reaches for us with his good news. Today I'm going to take us to a story of miraculous encounter that happens after Jesus is risen. We're going to see how this story worked out for those early followers of Jesus. And so we're going to be in Acts 10. And what I want you to see here is, where is God at work? We know God went to work on the cross. We know God went to work in a tomb. We know God risen is at work now. But some of you could maybe dismiss that and go, yeah, that's what God did. What we're going to see today is that risen God wants to show up in the mundane moments of your life so that all of your life is captured by his glory. All of your life is consumed by his ability to do day in, day out what we need, because he's the living God. So there's two major players in this story that we're going to look at. The title of the message today is God is Able. We're going to see a guy named Cornelius, who is devout in his faith, a soldier, not from the Jewish community, but from the Gentile community. And we're going to see Peter, one of the early disciples. And we're going to see God at work speaking to them. In Acts 10, it says, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius. I told you. A centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all of his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel. There they are again, of God, who came to him and said, Cornelius. An ordinary afternoon, a normal time of prayer, transformed into a miraculous encounter with an angel calling Cornelius by name. It's the way God loves to work. So Cornelius is instructed to call for Peter, and he begins to tell people around him what happened. And in a very similar time frame, God is speaking to Peter in a different city, doing things, orchestrating things that only God can orchestrate, because God is able. Verse 9, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the roof to pray. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, 3 men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. God living at work. God reaching, pursuing through those who know him and those who are coming into a deeper faith with him. Pretty much everybody in this room. Everybody in this room, a normal time of prayer can become an angelic encounter. A normal time of prayer can be where God reaches into your story and changes things. A normal time of prayer that you think is about you is about somebody else, because God's speaking to them too. The living God working. So Peter's faithful to God's leading, and here's what unfolds at Cornelius' house, picking it up in verse 34. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee with the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he, Jesus, went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Amazing. If you've ever wanted to tell the good news of Jesus to a friend and you've not been sure how, just plagiarize Peter. Just go, hey, Acts 10. Come hang out with me. Let's read it through. This is the story of the good news of peace. This is what God is up to in the world. And the thing I want to ask you before we go any further is, why are you here today? What in your story and in your life would cause you to show up to a building on a Sunday that moves every year? Like, you didn't know it was going to be Easter until you looked at the calendar because it changes dates. That wasn't funny, apparently. What are you looking for? What's amazing is you're not looking for a dead God. You're looking for the living God. And I'm just going to be real frank. My life, in light of Jesus in Acts 10, is to be good news of peace. How are you doing in the peace category? Does every day feel like a peaceful day of good news? Oh, it's just peace all the time, Kurt. I'm sorry if you're missing out on that, but I've figured it out. There's no fear, there's no strife, there's no anxiety, there's nothing that worries me, concerns me. Everything's great, it's all perfect, it's awesome, it's good. Come on now. It's interesting that the good news of peace finishes with a proclamation that there is forgiveness for sin. Those things are never separated from each other because God is always reaching to close the gap of the thing that distances me from him. God is always closing the gap. God closes the gap for Cornelius. God closes a gap for Peter because he speaks to them and he draws them together. I just want to tell you that simply showing up today reveals even a smallest measure of faith. Maybe you're going to see an angel today. It's possible. It would be very surprising unless you're like, actually, no, I see angels all the time. I'd be like, I'd like to talk to you after service. That sounds amazing. See, what's so interesting is you've been made in the image of God, and so have I. And so when I show up, I might be like, God, I'm here. And he goes, oh, that's so good, Kurt. I've been doing that from day one. You're made in my image. I'm a God who's able to show up and show up again and show up again and keep reaching for you and keep looking for you. I'll show up to Cornelius in a time of prayer, and I'll show up to Peter in a time of prayer so that they start to draw their friends together and their community together, and I will show up there as well. I am a God who is living and who will show up for you. Will you let me? See, as we think about Easter, it's just this miraculous thing that we can hold at a distance. Man, God, you conquered sin and death. You were raised to life. He's like, yeah, like we raised Lazarus to life just a couple verses before. That's what I do. But what I'm aware of is we hold the reality of God's kingdom off. We hold the goodness of God off. We want these miraculous moments, but we actually haven't mastered the ability to show up in the mundane, like it's just 3 in the afternoon and I'm seeking God. It's a midweek moment, and like I've missed that God just wants to be with me all the time. That's actually the point of Easter, is that the living God wants to be with you all the time. All the time. He wants you to live connected to Him day in and day out. Not Sunday service in and Sunday service out. Although, come to church at 10 a.m. next Sunday. Don't settle for just coming to church, although, like, that's a good start. God wants to be connected to you in all of your life, every day, on a rooftop, on a road trip. When you show up at your friend's house, God wants to show up there too. In the quiet, unseen, God wants to meet you. In those tombs of your life that you have decided are off limits, God's going, hey, I'll come there too. You want to do work in the dark? Let's go. I want freedom for you. I want wholeness for you. I want deliverance from you. I want you to know the good news of peace. And there is only one source for that, and that's the living God. And if I distance myself from God Himself, I don't have good news of peace. I have distance and disconnection. Sometimes it's also called disobedience. I'm being disobedient to God. I'm being neglecting of God. Listen to what Peter does here. He tells the whole of God, like the story of Jesus, in like a few verses. In just a few verses, he just sums it up. He said, there's an announcing a good news of peace. Every day, faith in Jesus means we need to refresh the good news of peace in our soul. Every day. Then he talks about John the Baptist preaching for the forgiveness of sins, proclaiming that there's one coming after him, that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, that Jesus did good and healed. How many healings does Jesus need to do for us to believe Jesus can heal? How many miracles does it take to believe in a miraculous God? Is one enough? Well, let's just be honest. I forget. I get further away from that miraculous moment with God, and then I just sort of drift. And I'm like, man, God's like nowhere to be found. It's so weird. Turns out I've been the one walking away. I've been the one disinterested. The hope of Jesus proclaims His interest in you and all of the world so that all of the world can be saved, Jew and Gentile. That covers every nation. Right now, we need a good news of peace that looks like the kingdom of God, breaking in for the good of our souls and our minds and our church and our homes and our neighborhoods and our families. Will we be those kinds of Easter people? Not the one-and-done Easter people, but the daily people who live with a living God who's no longer in a tomb but is raised to life and proclaiming hope for you and for me and for our neighbors and for the people across the street. It's not just about you. Isn't this an amazing story? Acts 10, God speaks to separate people to bring them together so God can show up and do work. That should shape our prayer life. No? Let me tell you what that does. Am I only interested in the miracle God will do for me? Or am I willing to see the miracle of God showing up for other people and go, that's my God. That's the God I serve. That's the God I know. Is it only about you and the miracle you need? Or is it about opening your life to a God who loves you so much but also loves everybody else? And every time an angel suddenly appears, you go, yep, that's my God. That's the God who's able. That's the God who conquered sin and grave. That's the God that I love, know, and follow. Because if He'll show up for you when you need it, He'll show up for me. Oh, my prayer this morning is that God's talking to you. My prayer is that what we see in Acts 10 becomes a reality for us today. That we would understand it's not just about me and my faith, but I'm called to witness and testify to the living God to people around me. That I'm to proclaim a good news of peace. That the unbelievable becomes believable because God is able to do it. I was thinking about that last little part. You know, it's so fun. It's like this cool news about God and peace, and he was anointed with power and healing so that we can experience forgiveness for, yeah, y'all don't even want to say it. Forgiveness for sin. Forgiveness for sin. And I want you to hear me real quick because this is where we're going to finish today. If I avoid sin in my life, why did Jesus bear a gruesome death on a cross? Oh, no, that doesn't matter. And neither did your gory death on the cross. In the scriptures, there is a proclamation of freedom and deliverance from sin. It is always connected to the good news. Because sin is the thing that causes us to suffer. And I've often heard sin described as self-absorption. My way. I do things my way. I just do what I want. And I disregard all of you. And I disregard God. But you're like, but, I mean, is it really that simple? Like, what if I'm just like being really good? I'm a good person. The connection in the scriptures is those who fear the Lord and do what is right. It's always connected to relationship with God. That's what it says in Acts 10. Those who fear the Lord. He is calling from every tribe, tongue, and nation, those who fear the Lord and do what is right. What the scriptures are saying is you and I cannot do what is right when we disconnect from God. When I disconnect from God, I'm in sin. Period. Being disconnected from the living God is where it all starts to break apart. And God wants to be connected to you in all of your life. If I disconnect in my mind from God, what God thinks, my mind will become a place of destruction. And it will destroy me, and then will. If my emotions are disconnected from God, I hide my emotions from God, I disconnect who I am internally from the living God, I go, I got this. I can handle myself. I can handle my emotions. That's sin. You've separated yourself from God. I believe God is reaching for us in a day and time where he's saying, look, you've sort of built a system of like the sins that I really need to ask for forgiveness for and then like everything else that's not really a big deal. Things that distract me can be sin because they can disconnect me from God. I mean, I wrote a list of all the like hidden, uncomfortable sins that we would never think about. Comfort over conviction. I choose the comfort of my own life instead of the conviction to obey God, which could cost me. I'm given to fear over and over and over again, but I don't believe God says, do not be afraid. That's actually, I mean, if you've been here any of the last few weeks, like I'm just aware fear has like a deep hook in my soul. And I'm asking God to reach deeper down than ever before because I want freedom. And that's what God wants for you, freedom in the depths of your soul because he says, I can go into the tomb, I can go into the dark, and I can come out living, and so can you. Self-sufficiency over surrender. We don't like to surrender. And here's the thing. Maybe you've surrendered parts of your life or this thing, or you've prayed a sinner's prayer. God wants all of your life every day so that every day can be good news of peace from him and for him. From him and for him. He doesn't want you to live your life and then say, oh God, hey, I'm back. Here's the life I built by myself. That's not the Easter message. That's not the hope of the gospel. The hope of the gospel is that the living God can walk with you every day. You can eat with him. You can talk with him. You can hang out with him. It can be fish tacos by the lake. Amen. I'm pretty sure that's how it went, guys. Jesus is like, hey, I'm risen. Kind of hungry. It's been a couple days. Hey, fishermen, let's go. Fish tacos. Y'all know what to do. Come on. I just want to tell you, like, here's my heart for you today, and we're going to close. Wherever you are on your journey, maybe today is the first time you've ever walked into a church building. Just ask yourself, what inside me even compelled me to consider going to church? My guess is the living God has been reaching for you before you ever turned to reach for him. Maybe this is like a familiar thing. You're like, yep, Jesus is the real deal. It's time to go to church again. Maybe you're here week in and week out. What I want you to ask is, have you set a limit on where and how and what God can do in your life? Because you've said, that's enough. That's as far as you're allowed to go, God. I'm not going to let you have this part. I'm not going to talk to you about that part. You actually need to stay over there. What I actually believe the hope of Easter is God can do more than you imagine. God wants to reach into your life and bring every part of your life back to life. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be delivered. He wants you to be engaged with him in a way that you know him by name. You walk with him. You talk with him. You have seen him with your eyes, with your life, with your testimony, with your witness, and then you share that as a gift because there is no greater hope. There is no greater life than the life lived connected with the living God. And I'm going to tell you, I'll go first. I'll go first. What do you mean you'll go first? What kind of, like, forgiveness from sin does a pastor need? Well, just read headlines. By the mercy of God, I pray it's never my name there. I was praying this morning. I've been praying for you all week. I was supposed to. It's Easter week. We pray. I was praying for you all week. And I prayed God would talk to you. I don't want you to hear from me. Like, I want the living God to talk to you like he spoke to Peter and like he spoke to Cornelius. And this morning as I was praying, I just realized, like, this is the thing I have to repent from. I have tried so hard to offer my life back to God. God, look what I did for you. I did this for you. He's like, hey, Kurt. I like raise dead things. I want to do this with you. I don't need you to do this for me. I want to do this with you. That is the invitation of faith in Jesus Christ. All of my life with Jesus. By the Spirit, because the Father loves us. Faith in Jesus is about living every day and every part of your life with God, saying, God, what do you think about my money? What do you think about my dating relationships? What do you think about my private life, how I cope with life? What do you think about this? And not just what you think, but what do you want to do in me and with me and through me? Because it's not about living a life disconnected from God so then you can spend heaven with a God you never knew. It's not praying a prayer now so you can get into heaven one day because maybe that will be better. It's saying, I want every day to be in the presence of God, so whatever measure of heaven I can get, it breaks in here and now with me, for me, through me, so I get the living God every day of my life. And if that's the way we're living now, heaven is going to be an exclamation mark because we've lived every day with the living God. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand. I want to be really clear. God is not scared of our sin, our sin. All have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. That's why we need an inbreaking of healing and wholeness and hope. God is not scared of our sin. He knows sin suffocates the life out of us. Slow, subtle, oftentimes insignificant. Where do you need freedom today? Where do you need hope and healing today? Where can you turn back to God and go, God, this part of my life has been disconnected from you. No more. I want what you can do. I want to be with you. And today, some of you, for the first time ever, are going to make a very intentional decision to say, I want the living God living with me every day. That is what it looks like to walk in faith. That is what it is to have a relationship with a God who has already said, I love you. I want you. Let me be a part of what you got going on. And watch what I can do with it. God is able to save. God is able to forgive. God is able to love us right here, right now. And I just think some of you need to respond today. Like you've made it here, and that's a big deal, but God has more for you. And if you are here today and you go, I need more of God in my life, today we're going to pray for you. If you need more good news of peace, we want to pray for you. If you need hope or healing, that Jesus was anointed and had the power to heal and to seek and save the lost, he will do that today because he did it then, because he is the living God. My encouragement to us is let's live with a faith that asks for the living God to show up every day. If you're part of our prayer teams, I'm going to ask you to come on down and I'm going to pray a closing prayer. And then we're going to leave this space open. You might just right where you're at go, God, I'm yours. I want more of you. Like if you want more of God, today is the day to say, God, more. The New Testament believers said God is able to do immeasurably more than you even know to ask or imagine. Whatever you can ask for and whatever you can imagine, you have not reached the end of what God is capable of. God has more for us. I just don't know how to say it. Have I said it clear enough? God has more for you. If you want it today, all you have to do is just open up your life. And sometimes we just say, God, come. God, come in. God, I'm coming home to you. So even now, God, as we close our time together, we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak and encounter people. God, that we wouldn't just check off another Sunday service. But we would begin to open more of our lives to you, saying, God, what do you want to do about it? What do you want to say about it? God, I pray that this week we would see your ability to do things we just have been asking for, we've been unsure of. God, would you come? We pray for good news of peace. We pray for the inbreaking of your kingdom that's healing and hope. I pray that you would open our ears to hear your voice. You would open our eyes to see where you are at work. And we wouldn't be just so stuck in ourselves that we miss the miracles happening all around us that proclaim your glory. God, most importantly, I pray for a greater connection with you for every person in the room. Work deeper. Come. Set us free. We ask these things in your holy name. Amen.